This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Joe Biden prepares to maybe jump in the race for president. The president sends his team to Pennsylvania, and handshakes are about to be banned in the workplace. What? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Drive at 5-855-839-1210. And by the way, last night I was at the FOP Lodge 5. It was a great night. All the Philadelphia police, and they were there for the victims of crime. And Maureen Faulkner and the King brothers. And, of course, last night they also talked about the DA, Larry Krasner, and why Larry Krasner seems to not support the police. Saw this story today from Billy Penn. Why is the Philly DA's office so white? Prosecutor's office lacks diversity nationwide, and DA Krasner wants to work on a fix. 9 out of 10 people in Philadelphia's jail system are people of color. The prosecutors who charge them with crimes, quite the opposite. Now, why does this matter? It matters because Larry Krasner is making everything up about race. That's why it matters. Meanwhile, I saw a lot of cops last night who were white, and some were black, and some they were all wearing blue, though. That's the key. Blue shirts, Faulkner strong for Maureen Faulkner, Danny Faulkner's wife. And that's the key point. Lots of diversity in the Philadelphia police, as you can imagine. I spent some time talking to a police officer last night who's Spanish. And she was born locally, but she grew up speaking Spanish for most of her life from her abuela, her grandmother. Anyway, but Larry Krasner wants to make it seem like the police department's racist. That's one of the things that he pushes, that narrative out there. Now, I talked to Heather McDonald earlier. She has a book called The War on Cops, which shows that the majority of police shootings are not police shooting black people in this country. They're shooting white people in this country. Now, I speak out when the police shoot somebody they shouldn't shoot. You know, I'm one of those guys. It's always amazing to me, too. People have such a twisted view of talk radio. You know, they think that we're all just a bunch of echo chamber Kool-Aid drinkers. I speak out against civil forfeiture. If a cop does something wrong, I speak out against it if it's necessary, because it may not be a national story, in which case it's not something I would talk about or it's not in our area. But I also have incredible support for the police, because I know that most cops, the overwhelming majority of them, are good guys and gals. They're good people. They're good people who just want to do the right thing in their community. And, you know, one of them will screw up. Someone wearing a badge will do the wrong thing nationwide and somehow becomes a referendum on every single police officer. And I've never understood that. You know, if some jackass radio host does something wrong, it shouldn't be a referendum on everybody in radio. But the police have that burden, unfortunately, which is that if somebody does something wrong, then they're all looked at as guilty. And that's not how it should be. In Larry Krasner's case, district attorney, his office right now, they are vastly overrepresented when it comes to Philly's overall population. According to a recent report from the city controller, Rebecca Reinhart, the report surveyed the city's 4,600 exempt employees who make up a small fraction of the 30,000-plus municipal workforce. And it turns out that the prosecutor's office is so white. Yes. DA Larry Krasner came into office vowing to redress racial disparities in the criminal justice system. Now, the Philadelphia Police Department has a ton of diversity. The prosecutor's office, not so much. But he makes everything about race. I find that to be funny. I really do. I find that to be funny. A little bit charming, I would say. Since DA Krasner took office, he and his leadership team began revamping the office's recruiting program, interviewing candidates from over 30 law schools across the country, including the top local law schools, the Ivy League schools, and 5 of the 6 recognized historically black colleges. Now, what do you think they're looking for? Diversity or ideological purity? What do you think? See, I have a feeling with Krasner, they're looking for ideological purity. That's what I would think. Whites, by the way, are overrepresented in other Philly offices, too. Why don't you ask the mayor, Jim Kenney, why it is so many white people work in his city, for his city government? Why don't you ask him that? Don't you love these hypocrites? These people that run around and call Republicans racist all the time. They can't stop saying Trump's a racist or the police are racist. Whites are overrepresented in other Philly offices. Federal data shows 88% of all U.S. lawyers are white, but the differences are more stark in the courtroom for both the prosecution and defense. A request for information about the racial and ethnic makeup from the Defenders Association of Philadelphia went unreturned on Tuesday. Diversity is a pressing issue for Mayor Jim Kenney in his reelection bid. He has come under fire recently for remarks about his own administration's difficulty recruiting people of color in the senior positions, echoing a familiar defense about how black candidates opt for better pay in the private sector. Oh, is that what it is? Philadelphia's hiring practices for at-will employees have historically been marred by patronage and nepotism. And he says, I want to make sure that they're doing everything they can to recruit, interview, and hire the most diverse workforce they can. Jim Kenney, the mayor of Philadelphia, who cannot stop calling the president a racist everywhere he goes. And the DA, Larry Krasner, who can't stop bringing race into every issue with the Philadelphia police. I find that to be interesting. Anyway, it was great night with the FOP Lodge 5 last night. Had a terrific time, and look forward to having some of the officers back in studio with us next week. All right. Now, what else do we know today regarding Joe Biden and his lack of failure to launch? I guess as we'll call it, failure to launch. By the way, did you see this? ESPN. Oh, Dawn, what's your policy on handshaking?
I always shake hands.
Why?
It's just what you do. I teach my boys. Have eye contact. Say hello, Mr. Zioli. Shake hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what you do.
Okay.
It's professional.
I don't shake hands.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
You do too.
You know why? Germs. People are disgusting. Their hands are dirty all the time. They're always dirty.
Just have some Purell nearby.
Well, I try to do that, but then sometimes you start pulling out Purell in front of people. They think you're rude. So I'd rather just not shake their hand in the first place. Well, Dawn, here's the thing, and I want you to know this. Handshakes are about to become banned in the workplace. Banned in the workplace, Dawn. Do you know why? Why, Dawn?
Because it's crazy time.
It's crazy time. Is it for employee health, Dawn? Because sometimes when people shake hands, they spread disease and germs, which then results in employee lack of productivity and sick time.
Nope.
Nothing, no, you say.
Nothing to do with that.
Hmm. What do you think it could be?
Probably avoiding, you know, any kind of physical contact, avoiding lawsuits.
Say that again.
Avoiding lawsuits. By avoiding just banning any physical contact.
You think so?
So you avoid a lawsuit.
All right. I think you're wrong. Let's see who's right. In my formerly handshakeable fingers. You're right. Employers are considering banning handshakes under new rules about physical contact at work. To avoid confusion about what kind of touch is acceptable, they may ban it altogether to avoid costly sexual harassment claims. 3 out of 4 people want a total ban on physical contact in the workplace. Now, this is really Britain that they're looking, but, you know, as the Brits do, they try to spread it across the pond there, so to speak. So they want no contact at all because there's a gray area. No gray area. It makes it simple. So, in other words, the rule would be no physical contact at work in any way, shape, or form. Zero. Zero. You couldn't hug, couldn't kiss, no slap on the butt, and certainly no shaking hands, Dawn.
Nope.
What do you think about that, Greg? Do you endorse that policy? I know you're a germaphobe.
100%. The less I have to touch you people, and I don't mean you people, I mean the collective work people, the better.
The better, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No contact with anybody. Just, you know, come and do your job and leave.
Joe, do you like touching people?
Do I like... No.
All right. It's probably the only contact you get, though, is at work, right? When somebody shakes your hand?
I live in solitary confinement in my little studio apartment, so if I get to shake hands with somebody, that's like an otherworldly experience.
You know who's a big hugger, by the way? Did you notice the other night, Chris Christie?
Yeah.
He does these big bear hugs.
Yeah.
Ever since I've known that guy, he's always been a big hugger. But he's Italian, and I don't think he could not touch people. By the way, politicians often get sick. But that's why they always carry around the Purell with them, because they're always shaking hands all the time. Donald Trump is a huge germaphobe, you know, they say. I don't believe that, but they say that about him. But he doesn't like shaking hands. And he has to now. He's president.
Yes.
But he doesn't like it. And I remember the first time I ever shook his hand, and I put my hand across his desk, and I said, Mr. Trump, it's great to meet you. I think you're going to be the next president of the United States, and I want to help you. And I put my hand out to shake, and he looked at it, and he gave me the look like, I got to shake this guy's hand. I don't know where it's been. So I like the idea of banning handshakes forever. What do you think? A nationwide ban.
Amen.
A constitutional amendment?
I can get behind that.
And then, of course, you wouldn't have any Me Too harassment scandals.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What Joe Biden does? He hugs you and he goes, I really like your perfume. It's all creepy, right? Right in their ear.
Has anybody ever sued over a handshake and said, "Oh, they touched my hand"? That's ridiculous.
I think it is that they you touch the hand and then they pull you in. You know.
Well.
So you grab the hand and then Joe Biden pulls you in. Yeah, and then goes, "I want to get a little closer to you." The hand becomes like a fishing rod. You pull it in. You know, that's what happens. Now suddenly, now they're right in your face. Oh, man. Well, handshakes could be banned. There you go. That's your daily nuttiness report right there. And ESPN sports writer Liz Granderson on CNN.
LZ.
What is it?
LZ.
Oh, LZ.
LZ Granderson.
LZ Granderson. Thank you. Blast the Masters tournament. Masters is a golf tournament, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, yes.
And do you know why, Dawn, she's... he, is it he or
he,
is she?
He.
You know why he is against the Masters tournament, Dawn?
I'm just guessing here, like, doesn't like the term master.
Bingo!
Yes, we can learn from it, but we don't have to continue to celebrate those same figures at the same time. I mean, you're absolutely correct. History is filled with men and women who have helped society become better culturally, who happen to have racist views or have done racist things. We celebrated Tiger Woods recently returning back to glory, winning at the Masters. We didn't spend very much time asking ourselves, why was this tournament called the Masters in Augusta, Georgia, founded by two men that we know, in fact, were racist, who are quoted for saying racist things? Ever wonder why it was called the Masters? So, I mean, we have to find a way to find a proper balance, but that doesn't mean that we have to celebrate our past mistakes.
We live in the dumbest time ever.
Oh, my God.
We really do.
Oh, my God. There's nothing to do with that whatsoever.
Why do we call it the Masters? How many golfers are white? 99% of
yes.
them?
Yes.
I mean, Tiger Woods is an exceptional yes. athlete with an amazing comeback story, but he's also one of the few black
yes.
golfers, right?
100%.
So because he's playing in the... So if it's, in other words, if it's a white man's sport and they call it the Masters Tournament, does that imply that everybody else is a slave? Like the caddy's a slave? Is that what that is?
I don't know. It's the dumbest... It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Ever in my life.
Like, it's like the Masters, it's you're a master, like it's the grand poobah of the golfing game is the Masters. You know, you become a master.
Yeah.
That's what it means. Not
you're the master.
Yes.
You've achieved a level
yes.
of mastery.
Yes.
You're master of your own domain. Is that a slave term too?
No, I don't think so.
I'm master of my domain.
Oh God, this guy.
You're a racist.
He's a race baiter.
Total race baiter.
Yeah.
LZ Granderson.
Yeah, he also does like a morning show on ESPN too with Keyshawn Johnson, I believe.
Why is ESPN so crazy?
I don't know.
Who it owns them? ABC owns them.
Yeah,
Disney.
Disney.
Yes.
Man, yeah,
there
I mean
you
it's.
Go.
I mean it's. They're like, their writers and the people they have on there are insane. They're insane.
So this brings me to a point, Dawn. I want to call for a. Not going to trouble. Why don't we do a boycott of Major League Baseball?
Why is that major?
Because they used to not allow black people in to play games,
yes.
Dawn. And also major league.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be a Negro league, Dawn.
Yep.
Did you know that?
Yep.
So as they take down Kate Smith's statue, yep. we can boycott that. Mm. Also the Flyers. How many black hockey players are there?
Well, I mean, Wayne Simmons is a Flyer. He's an African-American.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a Flyer soon, though. But...
Well,
there's not many of them.
Now, I want to know how many historically black colleges have ice hockey programs. Why does the NHL hate historically black colleges, Dawn?
I didn't know that.
They also favor Canadians and Russians.
Why do they love Canada? Canadians. Canada's the whitest country on earth, by the way.
Canada. I think you should coin that. That's good.
Canada.
Yeah.
Why do they hate America, Dawn, they and love
do.
Canadians and Russians?
I have no idea.
Well, these are the questions we need to get to the answers. We are going to get to the bottom of these questions. All right, 855-839-1210. This is the Oli Show. Glad you're with us today. The Masters is racist. Good to know. 855-839-1210. Jim is in Conshohocken. Jim, go ahead.
How you doing today?
Good, hey, Jim.
You guys crack me up all the time. People look at me driving down the road crying. Listen, I got a question for you. My daughter has two master's degrees. So
What happens now? Are they racist too? How do I explain that one?
Well, it's very possible that she'll have to give both of those up.
But what's she going to do? Go to work at McDonald's then?
Well, it's not my problem. Why does she have a racist degree? All right, Jim. Drive safe, buddy. All right.
I'm gonna have to talk to her and get this resolved.
Yeah, it should be changed to a white privilege degree, Jim.
Hey, well, yeah, but that I don't know that works. I don't
that
know
may
if
not
it works because you still got to call it. You got the bachelor's. Maybe we can call it the marriage degree.
By the way, I also find bachelor's to be incredibly sexist. Don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Right. There's a show called The Bachelor. It's obviously about a dude, right?
Yeah, but it's way past its time. I've had enough of that one.
All of them. Thank you, Jim. Drive safe, buddy. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210 is the number. All right. Let's see now. I could add this too, by the way. Fat sex therapist. It's an actual thing. A fat sex therapist recently gave a talk at St. Olaf College in Minnesota, in which she compared personal trainers to Nazis. She further compared a parent putting a child on a diet to sexual assault. Quote from Sonali Roshwar, whose Instagram username is The Fat Sex Therapist. She spoke at the college and she said, "I truly believe that a child cannot consent to being on a diet the same way a child cannot consent to having sex. I experience diet culture as a form of assault because it impacts the way that I experience my body," she said. So she has a talk on radical fat liberation. The talk included assertions that fitness contributed to the recent Christchurch shooting, that people should challenge the rule of law as well as the authority and of the police, and also, by the way, to stop politicizing body images because it's a tool of white supremacy. She must be fun at parties, huh? I'd like to hang out with her on a cruise ship. Anyway, she's a fat sex therapist, and she spoke on a college campus. And if you go to St. Olaf College, your probably student funds went to pay for her speech. So there you go. She said, "I do not think it's surprising that the man who shot up Christchurch, New Zealand, was also a fitness instructor." After making this claim, she added that the shooting is a clear communication that there's still an idealized body. Nazis really love the idea of an idealized body, and so it makes a lot of sense to me that a fitness instructor might also think about an idealized body in its thin, white supremacist way. Anyway, we have a fitness instructor in the Zioli Army, our buddy Diana, and I don't know if she is, in fact, a Nazi. I haven't asked her.
I don't think so.
I don't know if she is, but hopefully she's listening to this right now and working. I had a police officer told me last night that he listens to the show, sometimes podcasts on his treadmill, and he said, "You got to put a warning on there, because sometimes I laugh so hard I almost fall off."
It's true.
So I think it was Lieutenant John McGrody who said that last night. So you got to be careful. But I find that treadmills are tools of white supremacy.
Yep.
All right. Oh, and Wayne Simmons was traded from the Flyers 2 months ago, according to Jesse on Twitter.
Yes.
So thank you.
I knew he was going to be traded. I didn't realize he was traded already because, you know, as we know, the Flyers aren't in the playoffs. So.
Right. Who cares? Mike's in Glassboro. Mike, how are you, sir?
Yeah, Rich, love your show.
Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to alert you to an article written in USA Today about Nick Bosa. He's a top lineman that's going to be drafted in the first couple rounds of the NFL draft tomorrow night. Turns out he's a conservative, and he's attempting to hide his conservatism because he's afraid that it's going to impact his draft. And the article is titled something like, his lack of conviction is worse than his conservative views, which I find outrageous. I mean, why would a kid's conservative views have anything to do with his ability to play football?
Great question. Why is that an issue, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, I find it outrageous that this person from USA Today felt that his conservative views is some sort of liability. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then the article goes on to say, well, the fact that he is attempting to hide his conservatism tells that he lacks conviction. Well, what the hell do you want the kid to do? I mean, the kid wants a payday. And, you know, if he's drafted by a team like the San Francisco 49ers, how the hell is he ever going to, promote his conservative ideas in that city?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a shame that conservatives always have to go underground. I think it happens more than you think in places like sports and academia and Hollywood, by the way.
Yeah, I believe it.
Thank you very much, Mike. I know a person, I won't even say what he does for a living, but he works in the entertainment industry. And he's lost work because of his political beliefs, even though he doesn't ever talk about it. But the other problem is that if you're not openly out front for the left, they consider you to be a traitor. So not only, it's not enough just for you to be quiet, you have to also advocate for the left, and if you don't, you're gone. It's a shame. It's a really damn shame. There are a lot more conservatives in entertainment than you think. It's another reason why I love going to the movies, because I know that despite what a loudmouth actor says, there are a lot of other people on that set who think he's crazy. And so if I enjoy something, I'm going to do it. Speaking of that, what about that other activity that begins with master that, never mind. I don't want to suggest anything, but that also could be racist, as someone's pointing out on Twitter.
So it's true.
Paul's pointing out that, you know.
You're
but if you want to be master of your domain, which is also
yeah.
master is...
You're, I mean...
We got to just rewrite the whole culture, I think, at true. This point, don't you think?
You're taking supremacy over your body.
See that? Now, Eric Swalwell, who has no chance of becoming president, he pledges to ask a woman to serve as his vice president. Now, Dawn, I have a question.
Yes?
Eric Swalwell joins a long list of people who are woke men who want women to be their number two. Why doesn't Eric Swalwell drop out and say, I will only be vice president to a woman?
See?
That's woke, Dawn. He's not woke enough.
See?
Let us hear from the unwoke Eric Swalwell.
A lot of consternation among women who yeah. are looking at this field yeah. that's got a lot of diversity in it, African-Americans, yeah. women, but the white guys are all polling up at the top. The current polling average has Biden, Sanders, O'Rourke, and then Kamala Harris, Senator Harris in fourth place. Why does the field need yet another, to be blunt, another white guy in the yeah. field? There are a lot.
yeah, there's and Kamala Harris and I come from the same district attorney's office, so mm-hmm. I have great respect for her. I don't think anyone's identity should hold them back, but I think the next president should see all races, all identities, but recognize where you can't speak for someone's experience and pass the mic to someone who can. I've pledged that I would ask a woman to serve as vice president. I would put forward a diverse candidate, and I'd put forward policies that would make sure that, you know, inherent bias that exists or discrimination that exists in communities would be eliminated, and that we would make sure everyone everywhere has opportunity.
Well, there you go. So once again, the man will be at the top of the ticket. The white man at the top of the ticket and the woman
yep.
number two.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Eric Swalwell once again promoting male domination. I say bravo, sir. Bravo, you woke guy, you. It doesn't matter because Eric Swalwell has no chance of becoming president. But who the hell is Eric Swalwell is the better question. All right, now, Tom Arnold is in the news today. Why? Because Michael Cohen's best buddy is Tom Arnold. And Tom Arnold has a recording of Michael Cohen, the president's former attorney, telling him that he really didn't lie about stuff. So he's lying about lying, which is bizarre. He's lying about having lied, which is a lie in of itself. But anyway, this is like a time loop. You can keep going around and around in this. Michael Cohen told Tom Arnold in the craziest thing in the world right now that Tom Arnold and Michael Cohen are talking in the middle of the Mueller report. All this is just bizarre. Take a listen.
I'm a man all alone, right? And I shouldn't be alone anymore.
No.
I mean, after over 100 hours of testimony, right, including 7.5 hours of being beaten up on national television, you know, international television. You know, you would think that you would have folks, you know, stepping up and saying, you know what, this guy's lost everything.
Yeah.
I mean, everything. My family's happiness, my law license, I lost my business, I lost, everything. My insurance, my bank accounts, all for what? All for what? Because Trump, you know, had an affair with a porn star. That's really what this is about.
Yep.
There's no tax evasion. And the HELOC, I have an 18% loan to value on my home.
Right.
How could there be a HELOC issue?
That's
now?
Right. That's right.
Right?
That's absolutely
it's a,
right.
It's a lie.
All right. That's right. Now, earlier the question was asked of who said it better, Tom Arnold or the crazy black Israelite in D.C. at the Covington Kids? Because if you remember...
That's right. That's right.
That was what we heard, the crazy black Israelite. Remember that guy?
Yes.
Who was just saying...
That's right. That's right.
So who wore it better? Who said it better? Tom Arnold or That's crazy right. black Israelite?
That's right. That's right.
Right. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
They should do an album together.
They should. They can
Tom Arnold and the crazy black Israelite.
The Flavor Flav of the...
I think that would be a hit. Yeah. These are the lyrics of the whole album. Ready?
That's right.
It's going to be a hit, Dawn. This song is going to eclipse
that's
Avengers
right.
Endgame.
That's right.
That's right.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
That's the hidden track.
Oh.
You know, if you play it backwards, like Paul is Dead.
Every good album has to have a hidden track.
You got to have a hidden track, right?
Yep.
You got to do that. So there you go.
So the That's Right remix with the hidden track of Warren, Elizabeth Warren. Grab me a beer.
It's a hit right there. Yep. Listen, Marvel, we know how to make money. We know how to create.
Between yesterday's Bernie Sanders at Folsom Prison and today's, we're printing money, Zioli.
Bernie Sanders live at Folsom Prison, followed by Tom Arnold and Crazy Black Israelite. That's right.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
It's a
Oh, man. We know how to create on this program.
Yeah,
all right?
We do.
Yes, we do.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. All right, now listen, here's the deal. I have to tell you why it is that Hillary Clinton's emails were found in Obama's White House and why the president says today he will not comply with any of the subpoenas. And I tell you, the president should not. So, let's see now. Presidential candidate Senator Kamala Harris has changed her tune about letting convicted terrorists vote in U.S. elections less than 24 hours after being asked about it and saying she's open to having a conversation, cut two.
Address that immediately. And so that is one of my first areas of focus and concern. But, you know, do I think that people who commit murder, people who are terrorists, should be deprived of their rights? Yeah, I do.
There you go. All right.
You want to hear what she said yesterday?
Sure.
People who are convicted in prison, like the Boston Marathon bomber, on death row, people who are convicted of sexual assault, they should be able to vote?
I think we should have that conversation.
And then today?
I think that people who commit murder, people who are terrorists, should be deprived of their rights? Yeah, I do.
All right. 24 hours later. There you go. She's seen the light. What are you going to do?
But, you know, do I think that people who commit murder, people who are terrorists, should be deprived of their rights? Yeah, I do.
All right. What about rapists? Just asking for a friend. All right. Joy Behar worries to Kirsten Gillibrand, the senator from New York who will not become president. She worries that Trump might win because, well, take a listen.
I just feel like you're playing in an uneven field with the Republicans because they will play dirty and we will not on the Democratic side, and that could kill us.
Yeah, they don't play dirty on the Democrat side. That's what it is. They're all very clean. Pure as the driven snow.
I just feel like you're playing in an uneven field with the Republicans because they will play dirty and we will not on the Democratic side, and that could kill us.
Yeah. There you go. And Maxine Waters has spoken out, the most reasonable member of Congress, and this is what she had to say. I'm going to guess it has something to do with impeachment. I haven't heard it. I'm going to go on a limb here and say it involves impeachment. Cut 10.
The American people, in the final analysis, is going to push on the Congress to do the impeachment. My calls are overwhelming in my office about impeachment. I have so many calls, 90% of all the calls that I'm getting. People see me on the street and they're talking about impeachment. When are you going to impeach? And so I think as the level of interest and the level of, you know, not putting up with this president any longer comes to the forefront and lays on and leans on and pressures the Congress of the United States, we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to impeach. I just wish it was sooner than later.
How many times did she say impeach in that clip? Did anybody count? Anybody count by chance?
Sorry. Five.
If you say five, Joe, did you count? Did you happen to count? No?
I lost track.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's a 42-second soundbite.
All right, let's hear it again. This time, please pay attention to the time that Maxine Waters says impeach or impeachment. Please count. We'd like an accurate number, please.
The American people, in the final analysis, is going to push on the Congress to do the impeachment. My calls are overwhelming.
One.
In my office about impeachment.
Two.
I have so many calls, 90% of all the calls that I'm getting. People see me on the street and they're talking about impeachment.
Three.
When are you going to impeach?
Four.
And so I think as the level of interest and the level of, you know, not putting up with this president any longer comes to the forefront and lays on and leans on and pressures the Congress of the United States, we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to impeach. I just wish it was sooner than later.
I got five times in 40 seconds. Five times?
Yeah.
I think you were right. I think you guessed five, right?
Five times.
Five times in 40 seconds.
Think about this. If you handed in a paper, if you're in school and you handed in a paper and it was, I don't know, 200 words, and you said the same word five times, they would hand it back to you. Be like, no, sorry.
Yeah, please rewrite this because you're using the exact same word over and over and over and over and over and over again. The only time that's allowed is when this is being said.
That's right.
That's it. You get it. You get a "that's right" exception to that.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's absolutely right.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
That's the only time it's allowed. That's it. Now, the president today has decried the investigations from the Democrat-led House, and I'm glad he's doing this, and he should do this, and he should not let up on this. By the way, cut number 12.
Well, we're fighting all the subpoenas. Look, these aren't like impartial people. The Democrats are trying to win 2020. They're not going to win with the people that I see, and they're not going to win against me. The only way they can maybe luck out, and I don't think that's going to happen, it might make it even the opposite, that's what a lot of people are saying, the only way they can luck out is by constantly going after me on nonsense. But they should be really focused on legislation, not the things that have been, this has been litigated, just so you understand. This has been litigated for the last 2 years, almost since I got into office.
There you go. All right. There you go. Now, here's something else, too, which I think is very, very interesting to add. Today, I played this clip earlier, but Bob Woodward, the Bob Woodward of Woodward and Bernstein, that Bob Woodward, Woodward and the other guy, he made this point about the dossier. All right. Now, this is very important to take a listen to it. I want you to really pay attention to who he says push the dossier. Take a listen.
More than 2 years ago, back in January of 2017, when the Steele dossier first surfaced, I remember you saying right here on this show that it is a, quote, garbage document. Do you feel that the Mueller report basically discredited it, and to what degree do you think it played a role in the Russia investigation?
Well, that's what's going to be investigated by lots of people, including the Attorney General and including Senator Lindsey Graham.
And but, the Inspector General is also doing it.
Yes, and it should be. I mean, what I found out recently, which was really quite surprising, the dossier, which really is got a lot of garbage in it, and Mueller found that to be the case early in building the intelligence community assessment on Russian interference. In an early draft, they actually put the dossier on page 2 in kind of a breakout box. I think it was the CIA pushing this. Real intelligence experts looked at this and said, no, this is not intelligence.
Now let's pause it right there. So the CIA's pushing this. Real intelligence officials are looking at this and saying, this is BS. It's garbage. And the CIA is pushing it. Isn't the CIA supposed to be made up of intelligence officials? So why would the CIA be pushing it? Why would the CIA be pushing the dossier? The answer lies at the heart of who was the head of the CIA. John Brennan. The notorious liar, John Brennan, who should be in prison, John Brennan, is the guy. Now, Senator Rand Paul tweeted out the following back in March. A high-level source tells me it was Brennan who insisted that the unverified and fake Steele dossier be included in the intelligence report. Brennan should be asked to testify under oath in Congress ASAP. What is the intelligence report? It's the daily presidential report, something the president reads. When it was put in there, it elevated it to the point of being taken seriously throughout the administration. Both liar James Clapper and liar John Brennan, who are both liars, they both push this dossier. Now, the dossier is false. We know that. Even Bob Woodward of Woodward and Bernstein knows that. Bob Woodward said that top intelligence officials, real intelligence officials, were calling it garbage, yet the CIA was pushing it because John Brennan wanted Hillary Clinton to win, wanted to stop Donald Trump. John Brennan should be charged with a crime. He used government resources for politics, among other things. That guy should go to prison for this. I'm not exaggerating. He needs to be called to account for this. All right, it's been a busy day today. I really didn't get a chance to say this, but I'll just quickly cover this. FBI found Hillary Clinton's emails in Obama White House, according to a former top official. We will probably discuss this more tomorrow, but all of this is coming out now, which is good. It's very, very good that this is coming out, and we're trying to get to the bottom of all of this spying that occurred on a presidential candidate and his campaign. All right, so let's see what we have here that we didn't get to. I guess I'll get to the Lesser Cuomo tomorrow, too. Dawn, yes. I noticed that there are going to be, for the Avengers Endgame, 4,600 theaters in the U.S. and Canada will have the movie showing. It's the widest release ever for a movie.
Globally.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're dumping other movies for it because they're going to have 24-hour showings, just 24 hours back-to-back, just like that. Isn't that something?
It is. They're saying $1 billion.
Yeah.
So it'll set
$1 billion.
Billion.
This is what I mean about American dominance. This is an American movie. This is what we do well. We conquer the box office.
Do they have... Why? You know, we tax the soda and stuff. How come they don't have, like, a movie tax?
Oh, God. Don't come up with any new ideas.
I didn't say that. I was just thinking about that.
By the way, the... a lot of states, actually, what they do is they give them incentives to come and shoot their movies there.
Oh, okay.
So states actually give them money to come and shoot movies there. Like, they have... because apparently now, if they come and shoot a movie in your town or something, it could really help the economy of the town or the state.
Yeah.
So they give them incentives. There are movie theaters also, like our buddy Stan Casaccio owns one, and these are good theaters. You know, they're owned by good people.
Yes.
So it's also good to support them too. A lot of these movie theaters are locally owned. They're a lot of them have big names, but they're locally owned theaters. So.
And they're the same as when I talk about the luxury, you know, they're beautiful. You can get a glass of wine, you can get a nice meal, that sort of thing. So I love that.
I love that too. Remember the old movies in the 70s that used to show adult movies?
Yes, of course.
Remember those those theaters?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Pee Wee Herman was busted at one in the early 90s. So
that's
You know.
Remember that? Pee Wee was Hermaning himself.
Yeah, he was.
He was not masters of his domain.
Yeah. Ew.
Now, the superhero thing is interesting to me, too, because, you know, as a dad, my son is so into superheroes right now, but he's also into Legos, and... don't tell him this, but the other day, we were in Philadelphia. It was me and him walking around. We saw a building that looked just like Avengers Tower, and I told him it was. And he believed me, and he's all in on the fact that he saw Avengers Tower and the plane on top of Avengers Tower. And he's telling everybody he knows. So I bought him the Lego Avengers Tower.
Cool.
That he could build, and the Lego Avengers plane, so he could build too.
And now he can say that he's seen it.
There you go. He can say he's actually seen it in real life. You know, that's the key though. It's the other stuff besides the movie that'll also make them a bajillion dollars, right?
Yes, and they all learned this from George Lucas, right? Who was the first one really who had those Star Wars figurines and made a fortune off of it.
Yeah.
And so now you see everybody.
I wish
doing
I had
that.
Those. I wish I had those original Star Wars figures. I had all those when I was a kid too.
You did?
Yes,
they're worth a fortune.
I ripped off, you know, Chewbacca's arm. Yeah, I did stupid things with them back then because I didn't know. Yeah. You know, if you had those though, if you still have them, I mean, just like it says, like having original comic books. You know, now the other big story is that Game of Thrones is also coming up this weekend. They say it's going to be a 90-minute episode, and they're promising the bloodiest show in the history of television.
Wow.
The bloodiest fight scene. It's like a 90-minute fight scene, and they're promising it'll be the bloodiest thing you've ever seen in your life. So,
Which is, for them to say that is pretty amazing.
It's pretty huge, right?
Yeah.
You know, a presidential candidate said that she was rooting for Daenerys Targaryen.
Yes.
Right, who was the hot dragon, dragon
the
mom.
The dragon mama, the blonde with the long white blonde hair.
And she said because the other one, Cersei Lannister, has the Iron Bank on her side. So the undocumented Native American Elizabeth Warren said, I'm not rooting for her. She's got the Iron Bank on her side. She's trying to be an anti, it's like anti-bank. So that's why she's rooting for the hot dragon mama.
But why can't you root for Jon Snow, who's the best person on the show?
I agree.
Why say
I don't know.
Warren
because she
way.
Can't root for a white guy. That's why. You know that that's the truth, Dawn.
Yeah.
She can't root for a white guy. She's got to pick one of the two women. So she's picking the one who doesn't have the Iron Bank in her pocket because she's crazy and doesn't realize it's just a freaking show. The show, though, however, is still more authentic than her Native American heritage. So there's that. There's that, which is good, too. All right. We did a lot. We covered a lot of ground today. What was your favorite part of the show? Thank you very much. Thank you. My favorite was when we figured out that Joe Biden hates gay people. And tomorrow we're dispatching Joe. He wrote up some great questions to ask the millennial college students. And this is good stuff. So he's going to ask them questions and say, who said it? Either Joe Biden or Ronald Reagan.
Joe on the street. I like
Joe on the street. All right. This is the only show we'll be hitting the streets. Joe on the street tomorrow. We're going to do that. It'll be great.
Is he going to wear his orange suit that he wears everywhere?
Yes. You got
to
do that.
I have to get it cleaned. You didn't tell me ahead of time.
Well, have mom wash it for you tonight. It'll be fine.
I do my own laundry now, Rich.
I know you do. You're a big boy now, Joe.
Big boy.
You're a very big boy. I apologize. Right. Greg, let's do it.
Who won Twitter?
I got to give it to Opposing Force. He wants to, I guess this is an all request day, but he says, hashtag That's Right Remix needs some Alec Baldwin. So want to try and help him with this, Rich?
Let's try to do it.
I think
this is now Tom Arnold, Crazy Black Israelite, and Alec Baldwin.
Yes, so you go.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Right?
That's absolutely
it's a,
right.
It's a lie.
That's
right.
That's interesting.
Oh, no.
Oh, I like it. That's good. That's right, and that's interesting.
That's right. That's right.
Right?
That's absolutely right.
It's a lie.
That's interesting.
That's right.
All right. There we go. Well done.
We're adding to the...
We're adding to the nonsense. It's fantastic.
Opposing,
I love it.
Opposing Force wins Twitter today.
Good job, buddy. Good job. Well done. Well done indeed. And now you've given us new sound for the show, which is even better. The best part about it.
Exactly.
Thanks again to the FOP Lodge 5 for a great event last night honoring victims and the Faulkner family and the King family. And I wasn't able to see the presentation. I got there after it was over. Dom Giordano emceed. He did a great job, I was told. And the police were great. Maureen Faulkner was there. So great night, and then hanging out with cops drinking afterward is always fun. I enjoy doing that, I'm not gonna lie. So anyway, they have a great bar at the FOP Lodge 5, by the way, which I highly recommend for two reasons. Number one, they have a great selection of beer. Number two, it is the safest bar in Philadelphia.
Yes,
I guarantee you will be safe. That much I can guarantee you. All right. But we will talk more about the district attorney, Larry Krasner, next week when I have those guys back in studio. And that'll be very, very good as well.
Ricioli 3 to 6. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.